The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 25, text number 4, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 5th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 25th chapter, text number 4. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Shreyastvam katamad rajam karmanatmana ihase dukkahani sukhavapti shreyastam nehacheshyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni asked King Prachinna Bhardwajat, "My dear King, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness, but these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activity," purport. In this material world, there is a great illusion which covers real intelligence. A man in the mud of passion wants to work very hard to derive some benefit, but he does not know that time will never allow him to enjoy anything permanently. Compared with the work one expends, the gain is not so profitable. Even if it is profitable, it is not without its distresses. If a man is not born rich and he wants to purchase a house, cars, and other material things, he has to work hard day and night for many years in order to possess them. And thus, happiness is not attained without undergoing some distress. Actually, pure happiness cannot be had within this material world. If we wish to enjoy something, we must suffer for something else. On the whole, suffering is the nature of this material world, and whatever enjoyment we are trying to achieve is simply illusion. After all, we have to suffer the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. We may discover many fine medicines, but it is not possible to stop the sufferings of disease or death. Actually, medicine is not the counteracting agent for either disease or death. On the whole, there is no happiness in this material world. But an illusion person works very hard for so-called happiness. Indeed, this process of working hard is actually taken for happiness. This is called illusion. Therefore, Narada Muni asked King Prachinna Bhardwajat what he desired to attain by performing so many costly sacrifices. Even if one attains a heavenly planet, he cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. Someone may argue that even devotees have to undergo many distresses in executing austerities and penances connected with devotional service. Of course, for the neophytes, the routine of devotional service may be very painful, but at least they have the hope that they will ultimately be able to avoid all kinds of distresses and achieve the highest perfectional stage of happiness. For the common karmis, there is no such hope, because even if they are promoted to the higher planetary systems, they are not guaranteed freedom from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Even Lord Brahma, who is situated in the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, has to die. Lord Brahma's birth and death may be different from an ordinary man's, but within this material world, he cannot avoid the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. If one is at all serious about attaining liberation from these miseries, he must take to devotional service. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. You know that shloka. Janma karma chadme divyang evang yo veti tattvataha chaktvatehang punar janma naitimam meti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but he attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, after attaining full Krishna consciousness, the devotee does not return to this material world after death. He goes back home, back to Godhead. That is the perfect stage of happiness, unblemished by any trace of distress.
Mandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Vara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, this is another one of those amazing purports. Overflowing with oceans of mercy. Who is that mercy for? That's for us. We need it. We need all the mercy we can get. Because at the present moment we're suffering. And even as Prabhupada points out, a neophyte devotee may feel the routine of devotional service to be very painful. Sometimes we're enlivened when we hear the alarm clock going off at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., you see. Wow! Another opportunity to go to Mangal Arti. Wow! And sometimes we go, oh no, why is the alarm going off now? Can't it go off later? We're finding it painful to get up for Mangal Arti, you see. Of course, everybody's having Mangal Arti at home, right? All you have Mangal Arti at home every day? Everybody at the temple comes to Mangal Arti every day, right? Right? Or wrong? Actually, human life means Mangal Arati. If you don't observe Mangal Arati, then you're not even a human being. This is called Krishna consciousness, you see. You begin your day with the taking bath and chanting the Gurvastikam prayer, you see. And then you chant your rounds, you see. If you're keeping the Tulsi plant, then you have a nice arti for Tulsi. You chant some Nishinga prayers, Tulsi prayers. You see, even if it's painful, do it. You may say, well, what's the advantage of doing it? It's painful. One of my students, she was finding it painful to chant 16 rounds. So instead of consulting with me, she asked one of her friends. You know what he told her? That's all right, just chant less rounds, it's okay. So what was the result? By taking his advice to chant less rounds, she completely stopped chanting altogether. And she came running to me begging, please help me to start chanting again. So the point is this. If you find it painful to perform devotional service, that doesn't mean you should stop it or minimize it. You have to push yourself through the pain. Because on the other side, see the pain as a door, okay? See the pain as a narrow doorway that's hard to get through. If you push yourself through that pain by doing the service, by getting up from Mangal Arati, by chanting your rounds, you see, faithfully executing the orders received from the spiritual master. If you will push yourself through the pain, you will find unlimited bliss on the other side of the door. So don't be afraid of the pain. Take it as a golden opportunity to expand your bliss exponentially. You see. If you say, well, I just want to remain in my own little comfort zone. But what is your comfort zone? That Prabhupada described again and again in this verse. Your present zone of so-called comfort is birth, death, old age and disease. You're feeling very comfortable in your present status quo, you see. But is it really comfortable? You have to, a philosopher thoughtfully analyzes. We explained this last night to the people in Electra night. That we're taught to think this is a very wonderful situation, you see. You work hard and get your sense gratification and enjoy. But what is it? It's simply birth, death, old age and disease. There is no happiness here. It's illusory happiness. In Sanskrit we say maya sukaya. Illusory happiness. So why should I dedicate my whole life working hard like a dog to get illusory happiness? You see? If you worked for a company and they paid you in counterfeit money, would you want to work for that company? You have to work hard 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, working, working, working. And then on payday, they hand you an envelope full of counterfeit litus. Would you continue working for such a company that's paying you in counterfeit money, that's useless? So why are you working for the material sense gratification? Why are you working so hard for material advancement? It is simply counterfeit money, that's all. You're getting nothing at the end. Old age, disease, and death. So, why not work for an employer that gives you real money? He gives you eternity, knowledge, and bliss. This is intelligence. And that is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme employer. He is the only munificent employer. The other employers are cheaters. Since everyone requires an employer, we have to find that employer who does not cheat and work for that employer. That is Krishna. So this Krishna Ganya's movement wants to employ everyone in the service of Krishna. Because we cannot tolerate to see people are being cheated by these rascal so-called leaders, politicians, businessmen, so-called college professors. They're cheaters. Because they are not engaging their followers in the service of Krishna. Bhagavatam says, if that leader cannot deliver you from a cycle of birth and death, you must not follow such leader. If you're a parent, you're a husband, you're a friend, you're a leader, whatever you may be, you have to be delivering that person who is depending on you from the cycle of breath and
death.
That is the duty of every leader. The spiritual master has to see that every one of his disciples is going back to home, back to Godhead. The temple president has to also see that all the devotees in the temple are going back to Godhead. The husband has to see that the wife is going back to Godhead. The wife has to see that the children are going back to Godhead. And if you, even Prabhupada said, yes, you have a friend, you have to see that your friend is going back to Godhead. If you do not see that your friend is going back to Godhead, you should not have that relationship. You're an enemy of that person. So this is the duty. Because only in the spiritual world, Krishna's abode, can we have true happiness. It does not exist here in this material existence. Therefore, let us go to that supreme abode of Krishna Loka. And let us try to bring all of these rascals along with us. Whatever service you have been given by your authorities, this is the greatest opportunity to serve the Lord. Whether you're offering an arti, whether you're cleaning the toilet, whether you're collecting money, donations for the new temple, whether you're distributing books, whether you're cooking, whether you're chopping vegetables,
Whatever service you may be doing, it is first-class activity. This is a group effort. We are working together as a spiritual family to push forward the movement of Srila Prabhupada. Every member is important. The brahmacharis are important. The brahmacharinis are important. The grihasthas are important. The vanaprasas are important. The sannyasis are important. Everyone, GBCs, sannyasis, gurus, pot washers, toilet cleaners, everybody is important in this movement. We are working together as a family to bring the mission of Srila Prabhupada as the leading institution on this planet. And you may say, well, what contribution can I make? I'm just sitting in the back of the temple room stringing garlands. How much of a contribution can I make? Well, I can tell you this. According to your purity, that is how much of a contribution you're actually making. It doesn't matter what your position is. But according to the degree of your purity, to that extent, you're having an impact on this planet. So strive for the ultimate in purity. Every day, strive for pure bhakti. Try to do everything in the mood of pure bhakti. Do not take your service as a chore or a burden. Whatever service you have been given, take it as the greatest blessing, as the greatest opportunity, as the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, as the mercy of your spiritual master, as the mercy of the Vaishnavas, to get you out of your diseased condition in the cycle of birth and death. If you have this proper mood of pure bhakti, then you will be a powerful Vaishnava. And when you preach, your preaching will have great effect. Whether you're giving a lecture, whether you're preaching to another devotee, or you're preaching to a guest, or you're preaching to someone on the street corner, if you're purely following this process, your preaching will have a very profound effect on the people that you preach to. So everyone should strive to be as pure as possible in their chanting and all their activities. Do not oversleep and overeat, because this will pollute your consciousness. Yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasta karmasu yukta svapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukkaha. One should be temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. Because by so doing, he will completely conquer over all material miseries. So if we oversleep or we overeat, then we simply become miserable, that's all. One who is balanced in eating and sleeping, they become very happy. They become very jolly. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. So we should control our senses. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, mudaro pasta vegam.
etan yetan yo vishaheta dira sarvam apimam prativim shishishyat.
You see, in this way, conquer the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. Actually, such a state of mind is really cool. It's the coolest state of consciousness you can be in. It's called Krishna consciousness. I mean to say, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate cool thing. In fact, there's nothing that's cool except for Krishna consciousness. Because only in Krishna consciousness does your brain truly become cool. If you're not Krishna conscious, it means your mind is agitated with sensual desires. Dushparena nalena cha. It will be always agitated and it will burn like fire. So you have to come to Krishna consciousness. Pure Krishna consciousness. If you want to be truly cool. Otherwise you'll be burning hot with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You will be burning in the hell of your own material desires right here on this planet Earth. So kick off the influence of the personality of Kali. Tell the personality of Kali to either shave up or get lost. Maharaj Parikshit, he gave the personality of Kali some places of residence, you see, where sinful activities can continue. But we are not so lenient here in the Krishna consciousness movement. We go everywhere and give them Prabhupada's books, you see. We don't give the personality of Kali any hiding places. Our duty is to distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in every nook and corner of this entire planet. Our program is to force the personality of Kali to become a devotee. Not by guns, but by love. By giving so much mercy to all the Kalis on this planet. They will all want to become devotees. By love. Love is the most powerful weapon. And that real love is pure Krishna bhakti, you see. Not the so-called lust of this material world. I love you, honey. That's simply lust. That's simply love. All right, so Mataji and I have really appreciated the wonderful kindness of you all here in Lithuania. We're getting ready to head out now on our world around the world tour. We will be continuing on gradually working our way to the Orient and to Australia and then back to the U.S. But then we'll come again in April. We're scheduled now. Hari Kadabra has already authorized us to come back. He's kindly allowed us to return. We'll be back on the 8th of April. So we look forward to seeing you all then. And I can ask if there's any questions now.
Mokytojas yra pasakojęs, kad kai jis išgirdo samsarą, You have told in your story that when you heard Samsara Dava Nalalita by George Harrison, then it inspired you to become a pure devotee. Could you explain what exactly inspired you?
Actually, it was the London devotees were singing it. George Harrison was part of it, but he wasn't singing. It was this actual singing was done by a devotee named Jivananda Prabhu. And what inspired me when I heard this recording of Samsara Dhavanalila Loka was how much love the devotees had in their hearts for Prabhupada. This was a new type of love for me, you see. In the mature world, it's all just lust, you know. But when I heard the devotees singing Samsara Dava Nalalita Loko, I was amazed how much love they had for Prabhupada. And I wanted to feel that too. And so I thought, oh, wouldn't it be beautiful to give my life to Prabhupada? And I just started crying. I had tears rolling coming down my face. Just thinking it would be so beautiful to give my life to Srila Prabhupada. And then I had that. After that, I had no choice but to surrender. If I wanted to keep tasting the nectar of Prabhupada Prem, I had no choice. You see, the devotees, they were feeling Prabhupada Prem, love of Prabhupada. So I was thinking, oh, this, there's nothing so wonderful as this Prabhupada Prem, loving Prabhupada, you see. So I got my first taste of Prabhupada Prem. And I became like a drug addict. I had to keep getting more and more Prabhupada Prem. It's the only way I could do that was to surrender. You can't cheat. If you want Prabhupada Prem, you have to serve Prabhupada's mission. So I gave my life to Prabhupada. At that moment I knew that from now on I am the property of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Ti Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He is the puppeteer and I am the puppet. He can pull my strings any way he wants. I just belong to Prabhupada. That's it. He is the master and I am the faithful dog of him. That's it. Any other question? Well, that's good that we can hit the road earlier then. There's no more questions. All right.
You have a long experience of spiritual life. Could you tell how can one understand that his mind has become cool or peaceful and
yes,
controlled?
Bhakti pareshanu bhava bhaktir anyatra chaisha traka eka kalaha prapadyamanasya yatasnata shushtushti pushti charapayo nagasam. This is very nicely explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When you eat, do you know that you're getting filled up? Yeah. So, Bhagavatam says that just as when you eat, you know that you're getting nourished, you're getting satisfied, and in the same way, when you actually advance yourself in Krishna consciousness, you will experience it. So that means, if you're not actually feeling it, you're not actually getting it.
When you're actually getting advancement, you will feel the difference in your consciousness. And if you're not feeling it, you're not getting it. It's like when you eat, you know you're getting filled up. So if you're not getting it, you have to find out, what am I doing wrong that I'm not getting it? You have to take help from those who are tasting the nectar. And they will guide you, they will tell you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. So whatever you're doing right, you can increase that. And whatever you're doing wrong, you can decrease that, you see. And this way, by following the guidance of someone who is actually tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness, then you will be ushered into that realm of pure bhakti nectar. Prabhupada explains here that for the neophyte, it may be painful. Note the word may. If the neophyte is doing it correctly, it will not be painful. If he has the correct mentality, it will not be painful for him. It'll be nectar from the very beginning. If he's finding it painful, then his attitude is not properly, his mind is not properly situated. And then, of course, for the advanced devotee, he's tasting nectar at every minute. That's the meaning of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question? Thank you for your nice question. I appreciate it very much. Here, take this garland. So, next question. I don't have any more garlands for the next question. Any other question? All right.
Shila Gurudev, this Sunday there was a lecture, and a devotee, he gave a lecture that there are two ways to achieve perfection. One way is to immediately surrender to Krishna and become perfect, and another is gradual, just little by little, step by step, not pushing oneself. That there are two ways, but one is, he advised this another way as more applicable to everyone.
I see.
How could you explain that?
Yes. Today, I am going to Riga.
I will translate.
So, today I'm going to Riga. So there are two ways to go there, you see. I can go by the van. By Damodar is driving van. I can take a ride with Damodar in the van. Or I can walk. You see. One goes immediately, the other is gradual.
You see.
So you said that one was more applicable. And I agree with that. Doing it immediately, that is more applicable. Doing it gradually is not very intelligent. I'll give you another example. I don't know what you call it in Lithuania. In the US it's called a band-aid. You know, you put it, you have a cut, you put it on there, a band-aid. And then after you've worn the band-aid for some time, then you have to take it off, you see. So there's two ways to take it off. Gradually or immediately. Now sometimes you think, oh, it's going to hurt, so you take it off gradually, you know. And one hair at a time.
You know what I mean? One hair. Every hair separates from the glue on the band-aid. It hurts. Every single hair, it's... Very painful, you
see.
So that's less intelligent person, you see. The intelligent person does, let me just go, shup, and finish, you see. You see, it's painful only for a brief second, and it's finished. But you do it gradually, it's painful for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, the pain goes on and on and on and on and on. So someone says, well, I think doing it the gradual way is more applicable. That person is what we call in English a masochist. Someone who likes to punish themselves. Why deny yourself of the unlimited nectar? Dive in immediately. You see. You may say, well, it's not possible. How you can immediately dive in? Have you not read the Bhagavatam? Are you not reading Prabhupada's books here? Maharaj Katvanga. He was a great powerful king. He was such a powerful earthly king. One time the demons, they came to the heavenly kingdom. They overpowered the demigods and they took over the heaven. So the demigods said, Maharaj Katvanga, please help us defeat these demons. So Maharaj Katvanga, he came to the heavenly planets. And he fought very valiantly for many, many long years. And he defeated the demons. The demigods were so pleased with Maharaj Katvanga. They said, whatever benediction you want, we will immediately give you. Just tell us what you want. You see, this was not an ordinary king. He was also a great devotee of the Lord. They are called Rajarshi. Rishi means a great saint. And Raja means king. So he is called Rajarshi. He is saintly king. So when they asked him, what benediction you like, we will give you anything. He said, just give me this one thing. Tell me when I'm going to die. That's all I want to know. And they said, oh, Maharaj Katvanga, your death is just now coming. He said, thank you very much. And he fully absorbed his mind in bhakti. And immediately he went back to Godhead. So, we have to follow the pathway of Katvanga Maharaj. This is intelligence. Death can come in any minute. Actually, I was shocked. One of my students, they were chanting 16 rounds. And someone chastised them. You're not supposed to start chanting 16 rounds immediately. You have to gradually chant it. You have to chant 4 rounds for a while, then chant 8 rounds. You can't start chanting 16 immediately. That's Maya. I couldn't believe it. They were chastised for chanting 16 rounds. That you're taking it too fast. I can tell you one thing. When I started chanting japa, I did 16 the first day. And I've been doing 16 ever since. This idea that you can't immediately take up devotional service is bogus. If somebody is attached and they want to take it up gradually, that's all right. But you shouldn't tell them, you're not allowed to chant 16 rounds yet. You're only permitted to chant 4 rounds for the first 6 months. That's ridiculous. If somebody is inspired to take it up immediately, we should give them all encouragement. The gradual process is for those who are too attached to immediately take it. But if you can immediately choose, start doing 16 rounds and following the four principles right now after this lecture, all blessings to you. If you, any of you who are not doing that yet, I give you, if you can do it starting at this very minute, 16 rounds and the four principles, I give you all blessings and all encouragement. Yes, do it immediately. That is always the best plan. But as a concession for those who cannot do that, all right, plan B is available. You say. Plan A is immediately 16 rounds and the four principles. And if you can't handle it, okay, plan B is available for you. That is the spiritual master's concession. All right, chant four rounds for a while, and then, you know, follow two principles, and all right, and now go up to six rounds and three principles, you know. That is the concession of the spiritual master. But you know what Prabhupada said about concessions? He said it is better not to take advantage of concessions. So, our time is up. We thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Divine Grace Srimad Sankarsanda Sadhikari Maharaj Ki Jai.